Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
So it's almost mid-October somehow, and in October we're spending some time discussing the theme of growth. In September we talked about the theme of neighbor, but in October we're discussing the theme of growth, and we're doing that through some of St. Paul's words in his letter to the Colossians. And so last week we heard from Doug Smith, who shared about thanksgiving and growth and how those two things come together. And this week we're going to continue to talk about growth. Growth in the Christian faith, growth as a human being. So 17th century priest and poet George Herbert wrote, "I bless thee, Lord, because I grow among the trees which in a row to thee both fruit and order owe." Herbert's simple imagery is drawn from what surrounds him, nature, and also what's happening within him. The life given to trees, the life that's given to him, comes from the same place, he says. Ordinary growth, according to Herbert, in human beings and in all of nature, has its source in something. The source of growth. That's also a theme in Paul's letter to the Colossians, where he writes things like this: "The same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the first day you heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace." A little later, he says, "Your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better." And then finally, our text for today, Paul says in chapter 2, "Just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." The first Christians, like Paul, are always reminding us about growth and what they refer to as fruit. It seems that they never envisioned faith in Jesus as simply a theory to be grasped or a product to be secured. And this is perhaps the biggest difference between the lives of the first Christians that we read about in the New Testament and how our society thinks about faith today. Many today think of the Christian faith as a kind of mental assent, a cluster of beliefs to be agreed upon. Think this about God, and you're a Christian. Then settle into a life of waiting around. What we're really not sure we're waiting around for, but just start thinking about God this way and then get on with waiting. But for the first Christians, faith had very little to do with just mental assent and sitting around, and had more to do with what we could call movement. The life of a Christian, says Paul and his contemporaries, is dynamic. It's expansive. It moves. It grows. And so a Christian life is not only a life that is open to change, but it's a life defined by change. And this is Paul's language throughout his writing, and certainly in letters like Colossians, where he says, "Once you were in darkness, but now you're in light. Once you were far off, but now you've been brought near. Once you were dead, but now you're alive." These are all images of movement. Once you were one kind of person, and now you're another. And because, Paul says, because of the life of Jesus, a life that was so imbued with God's love that it changed the world forever. Here is a God, seen through Jesus, determined to help humanity discover what Jesus himself calls life and life to the full. And this, according to the first Christians, like Paul, is where we start. Under the assumption that being Christian is being about change. Being a Christian is being about change, about metamorphosis. We aren't the same as we were yesterday, and we're going to be different tomorrow. And so our trusting Jesus in the very beginning is the action that draws us deeper into the very action of God himself in us. So part of being a Christian means being a person who is on the lookout for change, being someone who expects to grow, someone who is becoming more of who they were created to be, day by day. Last weekend, many of us enjoyed a Thanksgiving meal. Some of us probably enjoyed more than one. Who enjoyed more than one Thanksgiving meal? Who regretted enjoying more than one Thanksgiving meal? A few of us. Much of what we celebrate in October is rooted, quite literally, in what the earth produces. We enjoy a colorful harvest in autumn, which is made possible through growth. Growth that takes time, growth that takes the right habitat, takes the right nutrients, takes the right soil. And this is the kind of language and imagery that Paul uses when he writes to the young Christian community in Colossae. He says, think of Jesus like you think about soil. By putting your roots down into this person, into this relationship, you're plunging yourself into the very life of God himself. Paul also uses this building imagery. He says that Jesus is the foundation for all life, the very basis for life itself. He says that Jesus is sure footing that we can trust. Early on in his great poem about Jesus in Colossians 1, Paul says, he existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. He's the beginning. He's the first in everything. So Paul says that being Christian is first about what your life is built on, what the roots of you go down into, what you draw on for meaning and for wholeness. And here Paul might sound to us perhaps even a little bit like Jesus himself when Jesus says in Luke's gospel, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me and listens to my teaching and then follows it. It's like a person who builds a house and digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. The first Christians were very clear that Jesus was the non-negotiable point of origin, not only for being Christian, but actually for being human. Jesus was central. In Paul's language, Jesus was soil. Jesus was sure footing. And, they expected, Jesus would bring change. He would bring growth. But, Paul warns elsewhere in Colossians, there is other soil. There are other foundations that we can build on. And this other soil, this other footing, is going to look attractive. It's going to be dressed up in all kinds of well-crafted arguments, and the world around is going to make a strong case for us to bury our trust and our lives into things other than God. But Paul says, in the end, all of this is really just high-sounding nonsense. It looks good on the outside, but there's nothing really in the middle of it. It's soil, Paul says, that leads to no growth. It's devoid of nutrients, devoid of life. And Jesus says a similar thing when he speaks about building on the right foundation. He says, "Anyone who hears and ignores me is like a person who builds a house on nothing at all. And when the floodwaters rise, just watch, the house will fall apart." That's incredibly strong language from Jesus. If you ignore me, if you root yourself or build your life on anything other than God's love and commitment to you, it's like building on no foundation at all. You'll end up in ruins, says Jesus. And that's really overtly what Paul and Jesus are warning us about. They both say, make the right choice of footing. Recognize the good soil of God's love shown through the life of Jesus and stay planted in that. When we take a step back, both Jesus and Paul are really saying something more, something about human life in general, how we operate as beings and how we operate as persons. What they point to is the subtle reality that every life is rooted in some kind of soil. Every life is rooted in some kind of soil. Every life is grounded in something. One of our several core values at Living Waters is worship. Worship, which is a word that is very much connected with what Jesus and Paul are saying to us here. Worship is not something that humans choose to do. Worship is just something that everyone does. Everyone worships. We're human, we worship, and we're just going to have to get used to it. Everyone is in some kind of soil. Every life is built on something. And this is what Paul means when he says to the Colossians that they have accepted Jesus. They've chosen to worship in the right direction. They've accepted Jesus. They're therefore worshiping God, and they're being oriented by God in everything that they do, in every way that they live. They've let God be the soil they plunge themselves into. And that means that they have to learn how to neglect other soil. They have to learn how to avoid other possible faulty foundations. And sometimes this is done painfully, sometimes uncomfortably, and most of the time with incredibly great intention. And this is what happens when we begin to realize as persons that God doesn't live on the margins of our lives. God isn't something we add to our online shopping basket to make us a little more content. God isn't even a relationship that we can do without. God is, in reality, to our life, and as Paul says earlier in Colossians 1, in reality to all of life, God is central. So Paul says, let Jesus stand in the middle. Let him take his rightful place, the place where he belongs. And when he stands in the middle, other things will be displaced. When our roots grow down into, or we build on Jesus, we're nourished and grounded by him, rather than other various people or products or plans or powers. So being Christian, according to Paul and the first Christians, had very little to do with marginal life improvement or merely agreeing with a bunch of ideas about God. It had to do with asking the incredibly big questions of life: who we are as human beings, who we are as persons, what our point of origin is, and how we're going to orient or root or ground our entire lives. And so the beginning of growth as a Christian, the beginning of growth is to be mindful of exactly what Paul is saying to the Colossians. Paul says, you've found good soil in Jesus, the one who shows us what God's like. the only true solid footing for life. Don't be lured away by cheap tricks and fleeting ideas offered on every corner. Stay in the good soil, soil worth sinking yourself into. Build on what you can rely on to be solid. And in Jesus' words, when the waters rise, your house will be safe. Your life will be secure. And that leads us towards another one of our seven core values, which is spiritual formation, or we could simply call growth. Growth. Formation or growth happens through continuing to worship Jesus over the long haul, over time, by soaking up everything we can from God and then eventually bearing, as the New Testament would say, bearing fruit, bringing us into maturity. You could simply use the phrase growing up. Spiritual formation or growth happens when we grow up in God. That, we are told, is how we become fruitful people, or as Paul puts it in this text, overflowing people. So Paul encourages the Colossians, let your roots grow down into God's love and order. Effectively, he says, dig in. Dig in and begin to soak up. And in his words, there is a sense, as we read them, of startling abandon. Abandon. Hurl yourself into this. Let go entirely. Whatever you're trying to stand on, wherever else you're trying to gain life and nutrients, let go of that and sink yourself entirely into God and his love. Give yourself over, says Paul. Plunge, submerge yourself into this relationship wholeheartedly to the understanding of God's love, and let that grow you up into a human being of profound stature. So if we want to grow, if we are to grow as Christians, we probably have a few questions we can ask of ourselves and ask of one another in Christian community. We could ask questions like, where are my roots? Have I plunged myself into this relationship? Another question that we can ask is, how can I be on the lookout for growth? And what does it mean to be a person increasingly open to God's change? What does it mean to be a person increasingly open to God's change? That's where growth begins, says Paul. Growth begins with abandon, with season after season, year after year, bringing ourselves to where Jesus is and hurling ourselves once again into his life, into his fullness, with plunging into the good soil. When we put our roots down, we find ourselves growing. We find ourselves growing. Because as Doug said last week, when we're in that soil, growth is just a given. Growth is just a given. I'm going to invite Reuben to come up, and I'm going to invite you to stand as we close and pray today in our service.
I want to encourage you as we pray just to think about those questions that Luke just presented to us in your own lives. Lord, we thank you that we can have a moment together to hear from your word, to be challenged. Lord, to think about our roots, to think about where we have planted our roots. We all have different stories and different journeys, God. But ultimately, we know and we've heard this morning that our growth begins with our roots being in you, with us building our lives on you, our rock, our foundation, God. And so, Lord, as we consider where our roots are planted, God, as we consider how we live our lives and where we decide to plant ourselves, God. Allow us to come back to you, Lord. Lord, whether it is someone here who has never actually taken that step, God, that if they are feeling that call, that feeling that desire to put their roots down in something different than what they have been, God, I pray that you give them the courage to abandon, to take that jump, to put their roots down in you, God. Lord, for those of us who have done that already, God, but find ourselves tempted to plant ourselves in other things, and we find ourselves in a place where the world is saying that, you know, this is better, or putting your roots down here will draw you to a place where it's going to be more fun or more exciting. You don't need Jesus. But God, that we will leave that behind, God, that you will break off those lies in our hearts and our minds so that we can be reminded again of the truth of who you are, and be reminded again of the fruit that comes from planting our roots in you. And so we pray for wisdom, we pray for discernment, we pray that you help us to have the courage to continue to plant our roots in you, to look for new ways to do that, and new ways to find growth and to see fruit in our lives as we do that, God. And so we pray that you do that work in our hearts, that you reveal to us how we can do that, and give us the courage to step out and just to leave those old things behind, to leave the things of the world behind, the things that we formerly had our roots planted in, to plant in you and to see you move in our lives, see growth and to see fruit. And so we just ask you to do that work in our lives today, and as we go, to continue to ask these questions in our hearts and in our minds, God. We give this to you in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Have a great week. We hope to see you before next Sunday, but if we don't, we'll see you then to continue the third part of our Grow series. Thanks a lot.